Alleluia, Christ is risen. Please be seated. Christmas and Easter are the two chief festivals in the church year, and they're also the easiest days to invite your delinquent friends and family to church. Many a wife or mom or grandma has succeeded in bringing her husband, children, and grandchildren to church on this day, when they otherwise wouldn't attend, with the words, "It's Easter. We should go to church as a family today." You may have heard that very thing this weekend. These appeals to nostalgia, to Easter's gone by when the girls wore brand new dresses and the boys wore their best suits and tie, or to sentimentality, to the flowers, to the music, to the breakfasts. Well, they often work. Now, don't get me wrong, whatever the reason is that you're here, I'm glad that you are. But having nostalgia or sentiment as your motivation for being in church can only take you so far. For the Apostle Paul did not just write, "Let us celebrate the festival," as if it were simply enough to remember that it's Easter and come to church. But he wrote, "Let us celebrate the festival with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." And the sincere truth before us this Easter morning is this: there is no resurrection without death. There is no Easter Sunday without Good Friday. And the danger of appeals to nostalgia or sentiment in Easter is that they would avoid this truth. We run the risk of presenting a Christianity without the law, without an absolute standard of right and wrong, without humans who would stand guilty for their sins. We run the risk of presenting a Christianity without a God who punishes transgressions, whose wrath does not need to be feared. We run the risk of presenting a Christianity without suffering, without pain, without death. But this is not the Christianity of the Scriptures, as our texts even today teach us. The introit from Psalm 8 is quoted in Hebrews: "What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet." But the son of man under whose feet everything has been put into subjection, Hebrews states that he was crowned because of his suffering and death, that he tasted death for everyone, that he suffered when tempted. And thus the Christ of our introit today was not crowned with glory until he had been crowned with thorns. As for our Old Testament lesson, the story of Job, who confessed that his Redeemer lives, that is one of the greatest examples we have of suffering in the life of the believer. For as you may remember, God had given Satan permission to cause the loss of Job's livestock, the loss of his servants, the loss of even his own children. And then God gave permission to the devil to afflict Job with painful sores on his body from head to toe. It was in the midst of such grief, such suffering, that Job made his confession of faith. And yet even in that confession of the Redeemer, he acknowledged that his skin was going to be destroyed, that his flesh, which would see God, would first go to the grave in death. Then we have our epistle lesson, the festival that we are to celebrate with sincerity and truth is none other than the festival of Christ, our Passover lamb, who was sacrificed. We heard Thursday evening that the Passover lamb was slaughtered, its flesh roasted over the fire and eaten, and its blood painted on the doorposts of God's people. This, Paul says, this is the festival that we keep today, the festival of Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He was slaughtered, sacrificed on the cross at the hands of sinners. He endured the burning wrath of God as he bore all the sins and iniquities and transgressions of mankind. His blood was shed to make atonement for the people. And even in our gospel lesson from Mark chapter 16, the angel sitting there in the tomb did not neglect to remind the women that Jesus of Nazareth, whom they were seeking, was crucified. We know they saw him condemned, We know they saw him die. They were there when he was pierced by the thorns, the nails, and the spear. They watched as Joseph and Nicodemus took Jesus' lifeless body down from the cross and wrapped it in a linen cloth with spices. And they were there as his corpse was laid in the new tomb, and that large stone was rolled in front of the entrance. It had to be none other than the crucified one, Jesus, that they sought, who was no longer present in the tomb. It is indeed Easter Sunday today. We do say with great joy, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And it is indeed good, right, and salutary that we celebrate, yes, celebrate the festival today. But let us do so with sincerity and truth. Let us remember that Christ is risen from death and from the grave. And the reason that he died and was buried was our sin. So much of our Good Friday hymnody confesses, we deserved all that Christ suffered on that day long ago. We deserved to be pierced by the thorns and the nails. We deserved to be mocked and abused. We deserved to be forsaken by God. We deserved to suffer and die. This is the cost of sin, death. And this is the payment God required to pay for your sins, death. But let us also remember and give thanks for the great love of our Lord Jesus Christ. So strong his love to save us. He was willing to bear all your sins. What you deserved, he endured for you in your place. He took on his head the crown of thorns. He took in his hands and feet the nails. In his side, he took the spear. He took the mocking and the abuse, the spits and the slaps. Most of all, he took your sin. Not just the sins you've committed in thought, word, and deed, but even that sin which is yours in your nature. Being sin, being a curse, he was forsaken by God the Father and died on the cross. But the death he died for sin, your sin, once and for all. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus died to pay them in full for you. Therefore, on this festival day, let us repent of our sins. Let us confess each, as we do each week, that we have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. Let us not try to cover up our sins or hide them away, but admit our guilt to God our Father. For he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Thus, having confessed your sins, let us find comfort and assurance in the good news of the death of Christ. Let us flee to him alone who was crucified for us, finding him exactly where he promises to be even today, in his word, in the waters of holy baptism, in the body and blood of the Lord's Supper. For through these means he delivers to you what he won for you on the cross, forgiveness, life, and salvation. Yes, it's true. There is no resurrection without death. But the good news of Easter morning is that for all who have received Christ in faith, there is another sincere truth, another thing to celebrate this morning. And that is, for the Christian, there is no death without a resurrection. Yes, our scripture lessons testify to this great and blessed truth, that for the Christian who believes and is baptized, the end of all things for him is not death in the grave, just as little as Christ found his end in the tomb. Instead, as Christ is risen from the dead, all who are in Christ shall rise. That same passage from Hebrews, which quotes our intro at this morning from Psalm 8, testifies that Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering and death, has brought many sons to glory with him. And through death, he destroyed the one who had the power of death, that is, the devil. And he delivered all those who, through fear of death, were subject to lifelong slavery. As Christ died and was glorified, so through him, we will be brought through death to the glories of heaven. And likewise, Job, who confessed that his Redeemer lives and at the last will stand upon the earth, also confessed that he himself would see God in his flesh, with his own eyes, And all that even after his skin had been destroyed. Well, how is that possible? How could it be that after his flesh decayed in death, that he would see God not in spirit, not in soul, but in flesh with his very own eyes? Because Job confessed the resurrection of the body, the hope that you all have in Jesus. We Christians don't simply look forward to life after death in heaven. More than that, we look forward to the very resurrection of this body. Bodies that will be like Christ's glorious body. The body in which we will live and dwell forever. 1 Corinthians, which confessed Christ to be our Passover lamb. Remember that the Lord passed over the houses that had been marked with the blood of that Passover lamb when he struck the land of Egypt not long ago. So also the wrath of God passes over you who have been marked with the blood of the Lamb of God through holy baptism. As you've been marked with Christ's blood, death passes over you. And that same body and blood is given to you to eat and to drink for your forgiveness, life, and salvation. And finally, we do have the gospel lesson, the good news of Jesus' resurrection. That good news that the crucified one was not in the tomb. He is risen indeed. But we also heard that Jesus, in his resurrected body, had no intentions of abandoning his own. He was going before them into Galilee. And there the disciples would see him just as he had told them. So also Jesus has promised you that he goes before you to his Father in heaven. And there he is even now preparing a place for you, just as he said. And as he has gone to prepare a place for you, he will come again and take you to himself, that where he is, you may be also. And thus we prayed earlier this morning, Almighty God the Father, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you have overcome death and opened the gate of everlasting life to us. To celebrate the festival of Easter with sincerity and truth is to hold fast to this promise of God, that by death, Jesus has overcome death, that by resurrection, he has opened the gate of everlasting life to you. To confess this is to confess that for all who believe in him, there is no death that is not followed by resurrection. For everyone who lives and believes in him will never die but have eternal life. So whatever the reason may be that you're here this morning, let us celebrate the festival with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. For you have heard the word of God this morning, the good news that Christ is risen indeed. You have heard the good news that because he is risen, death has been conquered and the grave has been defeated. That word of God which you have heard is still living and active. It is still powerful to strengthen and preserve you in your body and soul, now and forevermore, even unto everlasting life. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.